does in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 begin to talk about the single state, but historians tell us that Paul perhaps was married at one time himself, and because of his zeal and his aggressiveness toward his ministry, perhaps he received a divorce. And this is why Paul can say, listen, anybody who comes into God, remain in the state that you're in. If you're single, just be happy being single. You have to understand how to be content. So you can read 1 Corinthians 7. I won't get into that, but he talks and goes into this single state. But what I found very interesting as I was preparing for this, was not that the Bible has little to say about it, but how it is that culture has an influence on how we view intergender relationship. That the culture has so much to say about how we treat one another in the form of marriage and even in the form of male and female relationships. Now, whenever you're studying the Bible, I teach our ministers this all the time, that you should always ask yourself three questions when you're reading the Bible. First of all, you should ask yourself, what did it mean then? You have to get a historical perspective, because the historicity of the text that you're reading is going to have a lot of implications on how you interpret it. Are you understanding that? Then you have to ask yourself, what does it mean now in our present day context? Because certain things, and I'm going to show you this in a moment, don't quite cross over to our westernized culture. And then you have to ask yourself, what does it mean to me personally? How does what I'm reading, God, apply to my specific situation? And when we apply that train of thought, even to the study of singleness, we'll understand that culture has had a profound impact on how we view relationships and specifically how we view marriage. First of all, when we read the Bible, we have to understand, first of all, there is a Hebrew culture. Let the church say a Hebrew culture. Say it again, Hebrew culture. Y'all stay with me now. I got to lay a little foundation here. A Hebrew culture. This Hebrew culture affects how a man sees a woman. Whether you're single or married, this Hebrew culture affects that. In Hebrew culture, they had something called arranged marriages. Arranged marriages. This is where your mama and your daddy decided for you who you was going to marry. And some of y'all think y'all still in Hebrew culture and you still trying to pick out who your son or who your daughter going to marry. But this is not a Hebrew culture. Y'all seen it before. How many of y'all seen Coming to America with Eddie Murphy? It was on last night. Came on back to back. I watched it the whole time. That's my favorite movie. Amen. Coming to America. My son works. You know, y'all know the movie. Amen. Amen. Y'all know the movie. Amen. And so Coming to America was a good example of an arranged marriage. Because Eddie Murphy, Akeem, he was prince, heir to the throne of Zamunda. And his dad had a... Did y'all see it last night? It was on Bravo. Y'all saw it? Hey, man, I thought that was such... You know I'll be in the spirit. Man, I got home and saw Coming to America. I said, I know I'm hearing from the Lord. Amen. Arranged marriages. Amen. Arranged marriages. So they bring them together. We see it in the Bible also. I'll give you a little scripture for those of you who care. Genesis 38 and 6. Tamar, I believe it is. They talked about how he went out and arranged a marriage for his daughter, I believe it was. And so many of you have to understand that this culture affects now how we view scripture. Not only did they have arranged marriages in Hebrew culture, but they also had betrothals. Betrothals is when you are betrothed to one another person. Y'all haven't gotten married yet, but y'all are engaged. And this formal state of engagement is just like marriage, except y'all haven't consummated the marriage. Y'all understand what I mean by consummated, right? You haven't consummated the marriage. So Mary and Joseph, they were betrothed to one another. They hadn't physically gotten married yet. That's why they had to go and hide Mary, because she was pregnant and they weren't supposed to be together yet, because y'all feel the story. Amen. And so this is a betrothed. They are together, but the man got to get himself straight before he can take the woman and live in his own house. Another story. I hope y'all get the revelation. Amen. Here it is. The next type of marriage they had was something called a mohair. We see this in African culture. This is an arranged marriage, but it has a dowry on top of it. A dowry. A dowry is when I got to come and give your daddy $15,000 to take your daughter away. You got to pay for the woman's hand in marriage. Amen. And if you got enough money, it don't care how you look, they'll give the daughter away because they getting some money back. How many of y'all know that wouldn't work? Amen. You can be a rich as you want to be, but if you ugly, I don't care how much money you got. Amen. I ain't getting down with that. And so they had a dowry where you can come. Y'all remember Jacob, right? The story in Genesis 37. I told you all this can be found in Genesis, where Jacob said, I want that daughter so bad, I'll work for 7 years. I'm broke, but I'll be your slave for 7 years just to take your daughter's hand in marriage. Now, she must have been fine. Amen. If you're going to work for 7 years, amen, she had to be a bad tenderoni. Amen. So there was this dowry, if you will, the same in Roman culture, but Roman culture also had a dowry, but they had something called romantic attraction. It's when Romeo and Juliet, all of that was around the time of Roman culture. Now, I'm attracted to you, but I also have to pay for you. Are you understanding that? So when we look at the Bible in this particular context, it kind of clouds how we can get a good revelation on how singles are to operate. Because the role of women even today has changed dramatically from the time when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. During those days, women couldn't work. Women couldn't go out and hold a job. The society didn't lift up the gifts and the talents and the calling of a woman. They didn't even recognize a woman as a equal citizen to a man. And so the day and time in which we live, women have master degrees and PhDs and all of this kind of stuff. So even if Paul came into today's culture, he'll be shocked, because women running things now. Women, y'all ought to holler back at me right there. That's liberation. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. So here it is. You mess yourself up when you try to take this Hebrew or Roman culture and apply it to today's singles. It just won't work, because culture has changed us so much. If a woman didn't have a man in Bible days, the best she can do is to become a prostitute to take care of herself. She had to sell her body, become a prostitute. They had temple prostitutes, people who just hung around the church and sold their bodies to people who were going to church, and they would pay for that. Amen. That's a whole nother teaching right there. It's all in the book of Genesis. Amen. I'm telling you, read this book. It's better than Young and the Restless at 11 o'clock. I promise you that. Amen. And so if we are going to understand how to be single, to be saved, and to be satisfied, then we have to begin to ask God for some greater revelation. And that's what I want to share with each and every one of you, even on today. A greater revelation of how you can be single. Now, let me preface this teaching. There's some of you who are single, and you're saying, Pastor, I don't want a husband. I don't want a spouse. I want to be single because God has given me the gift of celibacy. I don't have that gift. I missed church that day when they was passing them gifts out. Amen. My wife, she ain't got the gift either. Amen. That's why I had to get married, because I don't have the gift of celibacy. I'm sorry. Amen. And I think there's some of y'all in here too that missed church that day. Amen. They was giving. I don't have that gift. I can preach, but I don't have that gift. Amen. And so unless you have the gift of celibacy, you need to start moving towards marriage. Because you can be single, but if you won't do married people stuff, you got to be married. Y'all feeling that? Amen. Everybody got that? So don't get twisted saying, well, Pastor said, I can be single and satisfied and do my thing. That's not what I'm saying. If you can be single and keep yourself, more power to you. But if you know you can't keep yourself, you need to be trying to move towards marriage. But moving towards marriage is a very, very important task. Okay? Hear me now, singles, and some of y'all who are married, you know, too late. Amen. Now, the one thing that you have to know, watch this revelation now. It's going to hit you like a gangster in a nightclub. Ephesians chapter number 2. Go there. Ephesians chapter number 2. Nudge your neighbor and say, pray for my pastor. He really needs some help. Amen. That boy is touched. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, presentation. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. All right, singles, I want y'all to hear this. Singles. There's some married people who came up to me last night and said, boy, if I'd have had that teaching right there, could have saved myself some heartache. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look what it says now. I want to read this. You got to say, I got it. Everybody got to get it, because you got to see this. All singles, you got to see this. You got to see this. Look what it says. Paul is talking. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Here, this is important now, singles. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Are you reading your Bibles? Watch the next verse. This is really what I want you to see. He says, therefore, Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, that's so important. Flip that in the Amplified. I want you to see this. Now, this verse is so important. Look what he says. Therefore, don't be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. See, if you are single, before you start any other type of relationship, you have to know what the will of the Lord is for your life. Are y'all hearing me? You have to know, God, what is my purpose? Because if you don't know your purpose, you don't know who you're looking for. Did you get that? All right? If you don't know what the will of God, what God has created you for in the earth, then you won't know what your purpose is. And so now you're in a relationship that have no destination. It's like getting in a car and you don't have nowhere to go. When you get in a car and don't have nowhere to go, in my neighborhood, we call that joyriding. See, and when you're joyriding, you just don't have nowhere to go. You're wasting time, you're wasting energy, and you're wasting money. See, and this is what happens when you're grown and don't know the will of God for your life, and you're entering into all of these relationships because you don't know his will. Watch this now. You just joyride. And you're going through one relationship after another, because you don't have the proper measuring stick to evaluate those who are coming in your life, because you don't even know what the will of God is for your life. See, so your prayer before you ask God for a mate is you got to ask God first, Lord, show me what your will is for me. Because when you show me what my purpose is, then I can begin to understand who is supposed to assist me in my purpose. You can't be marrying nobody because they bowleg and because she fine and all that. No, you got to marry them based on what your purpose is. Am I teaching real good? Say I am. See, so I'm not going to take you there, but Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 1, write that down. We have there the Beatitudes. And the Bible says, Jesus says, seeing the multitudes, he left them and went up into a mountain. Then the disciples came to him and Jesus began to teach them. See, Jesus can't teach you what the will of God is until you first come from among the multitudes. See, you can't understand what the will of God is for your life with a multitude mentality. See, the multitude represents in that text the world. And if you have the world or the culture's mentality about being single, you'll never understand what the will of God is for your life. That you got to say, God, I'm going to take off what society say I'm supposed to do, what my family say I'm supposed to be. First of all, I need to know what your will is for my life. And then once you know your will, then you can properly begin to search out for a mate. And that's what happened in Genesis. Go back there to Genesis chapter number 2. Go there very quickly. Genesis chapter number 2. See, Genesis chapter number 2. You first have to know what his will is for your life. Because when you don't know what his will is, you're going to be bouncing from relationship to relationship, from engagement to engagement, and you're finding that nobody quite measure up because you haven't found out who you are first. Okay? It's better to be alone than to marry wrong. Did you get that? Everybody who been divorced, say amen. Amen. See, it's better to be alone by myself. Me, myself, and I, all three of us, than to get in a relationship with somebody I ain't supposed to be with. Because let me help you. Come here. Just because they good people don't mean they good for you. Are you understanding that? Just because two good people don't mean they supposed to be married. I'll show you in the Bible. Let me break it down, because some of y'all think fat meat, not greasy. Look what he says in Genesis chapter number 2. Then the Lord God, you got it? Say, I got it. Then the Lord God took the man. Everybody say the man. Now let me clarify this, because when we're talking about the man, he's talking about, at this point in scripture, the man and the woman. Okay? Because he hadn't yet taken Eve out of Adam. Because when God created them, he created them man and woman. Okay, some of y'all look confused. All right, go back one chapter, Genesis chapter number 1. Somebody say, break it down for me, Pastor. Break it down. I know. I failed a leap test too. Amen. Genesis chapter number 1, and verse number 27. See, when God created us, he didn't create us originally. He didn't create Adam and Eve. He created Adam, and Adam, that were Adam or man, represented mankind and not just the male gender. Okay, I'll show you. Here it is. 1 and 27. So God created what? In his own image, in the image of God, he created who? Him. Watch what he says now. He created him what? Did you see that? All right? So don't be talking about a man is better than a woman or all this kind of stuff, because when God created us, he created us together. And then he pulled woman out of man, and because God never creates anything that doesn't have order, he says, okay, man, you lead this thing. So it's no superiority. He didn't create the man first and this. No, he created us together, one. Y'all got that? Okay, so now he says, go back to chapter number 2. Now he's talking to both the man and the woman. Okay, so we can't get gender specific here and try to be chauvinistic in this teaching, because when he's talking here in Genesis chapter number 2, he's talking to mankind. And he's telling you what you have to have before you get somebody to be with you. Look what he says in verse number 15. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to what? See, first thing God gave you is a job. Didn't give you a woman first. Didn't give you a man first. Gave you a job. See, watch this. He gave him a job. He says, watch this, tend and keep. All right? Now keep reading. It gets better. Not only did he say tend and keep, he says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat it, you shall surely die. So not only did he give him a job, but he also gave him some values, because he told him what to do and what not to do. Single people, y'all better hear me now. See, because watch this now. When Adam, mankind, before they had each other, they first knew God. They first had a purpose and they had a place. Did y'all get that? See, they had a purpose, they knew God, and they had a place. Okay, now if you really want to talk about the place, read back in verse number 10. The Bible says, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. This is his place. And from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Yes, sir. Yes. So not only did he give him a place, he gave him a very wealthy place. I'm going to leave that alone. That's for another class. Amen. So here it is now. If the person does not have purpose, then they don't understand who they need to help them. So once he gave him his purpose, once he gave him his place, then he says, Adam, it ain't good for you to be alone. So I'm going to take out of you now a woman, and she is going to be your help meet, not your help mate. See, you don't get married to them so y'all can mate, because you can't live in the bed. They might be the bomb in the bed, but can't cook. Help, there's a difference between a help meet and a help mate. Singles, are y'all feeling what I'm telling you here today? See, so now I have to evaluate the person that's coming into my life based on purpose. See, what my purpose is. Who's going to assist me in my purpose? Because if you can't assist me in my purpose, you really going to hinder me. Are y'all feeling that? See, and so this is why the process for Christians is not dating, it's courting. Dating is what kids do. Dating is what you do when you want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but when you want a spouse, you have to court them. All right, I know this is unfamiliar to some of you. See, it's like searching for an apartment and searching for a house. That there's different. See, I can go tomorrow and put a deposit down and move in Wednesday on an apartment. But if I'm trying to buy a house, I can't do that. I got to wait at least 60 days, and in this economy, 90 to 180 days before I can move into a house, because it's a greater investment. And so this is what you have to do when you are looking for somebody to be with you for life. Baby, I got to see your track record over time. Watch this now, singles, because marriage, watch this, marriage is just like when you're courting somebody for marriage, it's just like what they was doing Sonia Sotomayor a few weeks ago. Sonia Sotomayor was up for the highest position judicially in the land, a life position as a Supreme Court justice. And they said, before we give you this life position, you need to come sit down and answer some questions. And they begin to ask her, why did you say this? And why did you do that? And why? Because we want to know everything about you before you get into this position for life. And see, that's the mentality you have to have when you're interviewing your mate, because I don't need no surprises. I don't need to be going down to the courthouse. I want to do my pre-work and see what I'm getting into before I actually sign up for it. Are y'all feeling that? So what should I look for when I'm courting? I'm almost done. What should I look for when I'm courting? I'll give you three things that you can look for. There's a lot of things nestled into these three. How many married people say, Pastor, if I'd have had that about 10 years ago, boy, I'd have been straight. Amen. Amen. See, the thing about teaching something like this is all the single people dying to get married and all the married people dying to be single. It's like flies that's caught on the screen, though. The ones on the outside want to get in and one on the inside want to get out. But see, this is the blessed thing about being single is now you got a choice. Boy, y'all don't know when to clap. Amen. You got a choice. See, some of us, we got good marriages by accident. Because some of y'all ain't know none of this. You just, it was like shooting dice in the dark. You just, bam, seven, amen. You know, some of y'all, that's how it worked. And that's why when we say God is faithful, we really mean God is faithful, because it could have turned out a whole lot worse. So what do we look for? What do we look for? Here it is. Number one, if you're writing, take notes. Here it is. What do we look for? Number one, we have to look for commonality in spirit. Hear me, singles. Commonality in spirit. Commonality.